Howdy, Shovelos. Tyler here. I am currently walking the streets of Chicago. I am in Chicago at the time of this recording, but when this episode comes out, I will actually be in Springfield, Missouri, for the kickoff day of DeFore Fest. And it just happens to align with when we normally put our episodes out. Today, April 23rd, is the day that the mayor of Springfield, Missouri, which is Kenny's hometown and my hometown, he is declaring it Kenny DeForest Day in honor of the memory of our friend and comedian, Kenny DeForest, which is pretty cool. So it's been a busy week. I am here, I will be in Springfield for the duration of the week with the fest and just everything that's going on with that. So there will not be a new episode next week. And this week we decided to recast our first ever episode with Kenny about Tyler Childers in his honor and memory. So if you haven't listened to this episode, it's really a great one. We hope you'll give it a listen or a re-listen. And yeah, just enjoy hearing from Kenny, who was so smart and thoughtful and had really, really good taste in music. Okay, we love you guys. We'll see you soon.
Is this how we're starting?
No, none of this is going, man.
Okay. Take this pot and shove it.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to another episode of Take This Pod and Shove It, the podcast where comedians and country fans build the ultimate country music playlist one song at a time. I'm one of your hosts. Hey, this is Tyler Snodgrass. Joining me, as always, is the... Oh, I should have thought of this ahead of time. I always... the bottles to my Bibles, we got Danny Maupin. My co-host.
I am much more the bottle than the Bible. That's true. That makes sense. What's up, shovelos? You shove heads. You shovel fuckers. You dirty little shove boats. We're in this for shove of the game. I want to shove you to death. I'm Danny Maupin, and we're excited to have you here this weekend. I didn't say how's it going, so that's good. I guess I just did. Yeah, I'm getting better. We're only 40 episodes in.
And you finally learned this is not a live medium.
Right. I'm confused the entire time.
We're really excited to have on our guest today, an old buddy of mine, dare I say a big brother figure in the comedy world, and a fellow Ozarkian on the podcast, Kenny DeForest. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm a little shook from that intro. I didn't know... Is it just because I'm also bald? Is that why?
Well, the bald is new for you, actually. You look great, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. We don't have to talk about my appearance on the audio medium. You know, we're learning from Danny's mistakes.
Yeah.
We're avoiding rhetorical questions. We're avoiding talking about visuals. You know, we're getting good at this.
Yeah. We're getting real good at this.
I should say I am outnumbered today by two, Ozarkians, two bald Ozarkians.
That's right.
The Ozark's haircut. Yeah.
I'm screwed. Exactly right. I'm screwed. Like, you guys are just going to bulldoze over me.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you're from the Ozarks. Your hair gets removed a lot like your heritage.
Into the microphone.
Danny, stop commenting on the visuals. Jesus Christ, 40 episodes.
I want to make sure that everybody knows what's happening.
I like to believe we have a few listeners that participate with us kind of in a Dora the Explorer style, where we'll say something and they'll yell back, backpack, or whatever the prompt is. Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
I don't know if that's happening, but I like to believe so. Yeah, me and Kenny are from the Ozarks, and it's very funny. So I'm in the Ozarks right now, and Kenny, who lives in LA, is in New York, where I normally live right now. So we are all mixed up.
It's a Freaky Friday. What'd you guys do? Did you guys piss in the same pond or something like that when lightning struck and all of a sudden
we pissed in Table Rock Lake down here and just south of Springfield, Missouri, and lightning struck
we got radioactive lake water in our PBR.
Well, damn, I gotta try that stuff. That sounds that sounds like the Four Loko that got taken off the shelves. You know,
the good stuff.
That's what we say, but you know where I'm from, Kentucky. Yeah. The we good stuff.
We smoked the cursed meth.
Not that normal good meth, the cursed meth.
Yeah. Usually, whenever you describe meth as Freaky Friday, it just means you're about to get freaky. But
And every day's Friday when you're on meth, baby. We all know that.
That's right, baby. It's 4 a.m. somewhere.
That is the perfect description of meth that I've ever heard. Yeah. It's
like, yeah, honestly, that almost like a cover of It's 5 o'clock somewhere that like Tyler Childers would do
to paint right.
the stark darkness of life in a coal town in Eastern Kentucky.
Well, no, I mean, it is totally true. And I guess that is a perfect segue, because who are we talking about today, Tyler?
Well, we're talking about, I was going to say there's two of us Arkians on the pod, but you have a Kentuckian in your corner, because today's artist is going to be Tyler Childers, and specifically the song we're going to add to our playlist is his hit All Yorn. I'll love you till the lungs give out. Is not his most recent album, but his most recent regular album, Country Squire.
Right, yeah. There was like a surprise album. Yeah, the one you can sing to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could sing to the most recent one.
Just make up your own words.
It's just your words, you know, it's fine. Which I like that, you know. And it's crazy, because I was just on the road this past weekend through all of that territory. I was in Louisville, Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, Huntington, West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, like everywhere that Tyler Childers basically like started.
And sings about.
And sings about nonstop. And I did encounter some meth. I didn't do it myself, but I saw meth happen, you know. Oh. So that's, you know, that's my little, that's how I'm tying it up in a little bow, you know, everything we've talked about so far. Yeah.
Isn't it funny when you're a comedian, everyone just assumes that like you're down for everything. It's so funny. Like people will just like, hey, I do meth. And you're like, thanks for telling me. So funny.
Oh my God. It was pretty wild. I was offered a lot of amphetamines, a lot of coke. And these aren't my things, you know what I mean? And I'm pretty down guy, you know, give me all the weed you want, give me all the acid, give me all the psilocybin, give me everything, you know, all the whiskey. I had moonshine, you know, I was there for a fun time, you know, but good God, what is going on?
Yeah. Boredom.
Mm-hmm. Boredom.
All the things that Tyler Childers sings about are happening to actual people, and they're the ones that are doing meth at your comedy show,
right?
Because they're like, because their life is terrible, and they figure, well, I'll either kill myself with meth, or some sort of like generational black lung that they don't even know about yet, where it's like you get your grandpappy's black lung, even though you've never set foot in a mine. You know what I mean? Like,
inherited.
You just see it. Yeah, exactly. That light at the end of the tunnel's a freight train, baby.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I was in Charleston and I passed by, and I haven't seen one of these in forever, but just like a newspaper box, like on the street, you know? And the headline in the Charleston newspaper was Black Lung, Back at It. So, you know, can we take care of ourselves, folks? Can we just help each other out? Can we do what it takes to just be a community of people, is all I'm saying. You know, like just... Mm-hmm. It was together. Yeah. Come together, even if it's around the meth pipe. Just come together.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Let's be a community again.
Right. Yeah. You know.
Right. Everyone's smoking American Spirit and relax. We got to take care of ourselves.
Right. Yeah, wild times. Anyway, I mean, I love my region of the country I'm from, but I think things could be going a little bit better if we.
Well, it is funny. It's like every piece of art that is about mining coal is about how just truly awful it is to mine coal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then as we're trying to pivot off of coal, all the coal people are like, no!
Right.
It's like, what if your job became repairing solar panels in the clear air, mm-hmm. in the sunshine, just breathing God's beautiful, clean mountain air? Doesn't that sound better?
It does. Well, the mountains are going to be gone before we know it, because that's where they get. They're just leveling mountains for coal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's sad because it's like some of the prettiest territory in the world. It really is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's almost like going through New Zealand, you know, how pretty it can be in that region until Ralph stumbles out of the woods asking you for a chicken bone, you know, just the bone. He doesn't want the, you know, he's got to make a soup. And
yeah, gotta make a stock.
Yeah, I think it must be a devil you know situation. It's like, well, this one thing will put me in the ground and it's caused me nothing but misery, but it's also the only thing I know, so I trust it, you know?
Right.
Well, also, no one wants to be softer than their parents. So it's like, and also, you know, change is scary, especially if you didn't leave where you grew up. And so people just sort of like cling to what's expected of them or what, you know, like my daddy worked in the mines, his daddy worked in the mines.
Right.
Know. If I do anything else, I'm a failure to the family and I'm soft and, you know, all that shit.
Well, and that's true. I mean, like, and Tyler Childers's father was a coal miner, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, it totally all ties in because you could just, if you just see live footage of Tyler Childers, you can tell his daddy was a coal miner. Not through the lyrics, not through anything, just through this cold, dead stare that he has when he performs every time.
He has a stoicness.
A
grizzled kind of stoicness. Even though he's younger than all of us.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He looks as if he has seen 100 years of
He's
life.
Over 10 years my junior, but I feel like he's lived more than me.
Well, we'll get into some Childers history, but first, it's essential. Kenny, we need to get your history. What is your personal history with country music, and how is it that we're talking Tyler Childers with you?
Well, you know, growing up in the Ozarks, I think so much of your tie to music is music can like tie you to a time and place, I find. So much of my childhood has a pedal steel guitar playing somewhere in the background. I remember the big country radio station where we're from, KTTS. They would play their commercials on TV, and like, you know, their commercials were always like running through the songs they'd be playing. And like, I can like remember vividly just a little snippet of George Strait singing, "All my exes live in Texas," you know? And it's just like so much of my childhood has that sound going on in the background. It's funny. I have such a love-hate relationship with country because I love good country music and I fucking hate bad country music. Specifically the culture around bad country music, the politics around bad country music, what it represents in our culture, who it placates. You know, all of this shit, I'm keenly aware of it. But at the end of the day, you whip out a fiddle or start plucking on a mandolin and I melt into the moment and I'm an Ozarkian again and there's nothing I can do. I remember I tweeted one time, I was like, if you ever forget I'm from Missouri, just turn Freebird on and watch what happens to me. You know what I mean? Like, I can't fake it, you know? And
yeah.
So
it's in your bones.
It's in my bones, man. I think because of everything I just outlined for you, and also too, like specifically growing up in the Ozarks in a, you know, I was in high school when 9/11 happened and watching how much people loved that Toby Keith song. And even back then, even being a high schooler, I think that song was one of the first revelatory experiences for me where I was like, I think I feel a little different than most of the people around me. In that this song,
right,
from the beginning, made me keep very uncomfortable. And to be surrounded by people that were like, yeah, we're going to get them. I was like, oh, man, I don't know.
right.
So, yeah. So I say all that to say this, because of everything I've outlined for you, and I do love where we're from. It's beautiful. The people are so kind. And I love that I grew up where I grew up, and I still love and rep Springfield. You know what I mean? Like, I never want to be that guy that leaves and just like two middle fingers in the air. Like, you know, so because of all of that, country music that is good means so much more to me because it gives me the nostalgic feeling of being tied to home. But the messaging in it is real, and it's something I can grab onto, and in a lot of ways makes me feel represented in that space. Right, I feel like there's somebody who sort of has my views of loving the place, but feeling conflicted about the place, mm-hmm. and putting those conflicted feelings into words that both honor the beauty, show the love, but also ask the tough questions. And so when I find shit like that, it like, it just leapfrogs everything else in terms of grabbing me. And ultimately I love stories, you know, it's the same reason I love hip hop.
Right.
I love stories. I love music that tells stories and especially stories of overcoming and the downtrodden. And so, yeah, it's got all of that when it's done well. It's just the margin for error is so fucking narrow. And whenever it misses, it is just humiliating.
Yep. And you're telling Tyler and I's story right now, too, because that's exactly how we feel. I love where I'm from. I know it's conflicted. I know it's got its own situation. But if you actually are from there and you can sing about it, it feels so good to hear back, mm-hmm. you know, but also just like it was background music, but it wasn't anything. And then all of a sudden it turned into, yeah, great storytelling and someone asking the real questions. And that's the country we like. We're out here thrift shopping for the good t-shirts. You know what I mean? There's a lot of bad. Out
yeah,
there,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're the boutique country podcast.
There's a lot of Ed Hardy floating around at the and we're trying to find some of the gems elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. You're trying to get some Carhartt to see a Dickies, you know what I mean?
Right, before it was cool. You know?
Before it was cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it's also like it's important for there to be a voice for people in the middle of the country and in the South that are, I guess I would say, generally right-minded, that are living on the right side of history.
He put up air quotes. I just want to make sure everybody doing the audio can understand there were air quotes.
Yeah, there's air quotes. But because, like, you know, growing up where we grew up, and I've talked about this a lot in my adult life, I resented the way the quote-unquote, now I'll just say quote-unquote, so we don't have to do this every time, the quote-unquote coastal elites talked about, you know, like, flyover country used to piss me off. I'm like, fuck you. Like, don't talk about my home like it's just some place for you to dump the shitter out of the commercial airliner onto my house.
Right. Still you people, know? You know?
Yeah. And there's a lot of really cool people and a lot of, you know, there's, if you listen to somebody that's like never left the coast talk about it, the middle of the country is just this bland glob of mayonnaise that's just like,
well, I mean,
drooling on itself.
There is a lot of mayonnaise in that area.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of mayonnaise in that area, but there's also some ranch. You know what I'm saying?
A hidden valley. You know, if you will.
Yeah. There's some hidden valleys out there. But also, like, because I think, dude, as we move into this moment of tremendous upheaval and change, and as we're finding this new path forward of what it's going to mean to be American and what living in this country means, and what this country even the fuck is. I mean, that's literally what we're figuring out right now. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a battle of hearts and minds. And you can't have J.D. Vance be the only voice of Appalachia. You need to have, right. You need to give, like, dude, I saw Rage Against the Machine at Madison Square Garden the other night. And I knew it was going to be an amazing concert, but then to watch that music now and realize how ahead of its time it was, and all of a sudden to have Zach De La Roca up there talking about how their time is ending, our time is now, like, mm-hmm. those motherfuckers are so loud, and there's so many loud motherfuckers, and people on the side that I ride with tend to be, except for the extreme idiots, a little more like soft-spoken or not as like trying to rally the troops all the time. There's a little bit more of like, well, we're on the right side of history. It's all going to work itself out sort of vibes. And sometimes you need to hear somebody very plainly say mm-hmm. what it is you stand for to remind you that there's a lot of us too. There's probably more of us, you know, don't get discouraged. And I think that's where people like Tyler Childers are so important. And like, you know, Long Violent History is his most recent album with no lyrics on it. He put out a promo video for that where he just very plainly was like, hey, listen, I'm 6 months clean and sober. I want to make that very clear. That I'm saying this with the clearest mind possible. This was after George Floyd. People in my region need to really think about this and imagine how we would feel if, you know, an officer of the state came into our neighborhoods and killed one of our brothers with the way we feel towards the government and the way we feel like what would that do to you if it was your brother?
From the outsider's perspective, it's hard to see where all this visceral anger is coming from. What I believe to be one of the biggest obstacles in pinpointing the cause of this is our inability to empathize with another individual or group's plight. In the midst of our own daily struggles, it's often hard to share an understanding for what another person might be going through. With that in mind, at the risk of mistakenly analogizing two groups of people, I would ask my white rural listeners to think on this. I don't mean to imply that many of you aren't already doing good self-examination on this issue, but I have heard from many who have not. What if we were to constantly open up our daily paper and see a headline like, East Kentucky man shot 7 times on fishing trip, and read on to find the man was shot while fishing with his son by a game warden who saw him rummaging through his tackle box for his license and thought he was reaching for a knife? What if we read a story that began North Carolina man rushing home from work to take his elderly mother to the ER run stop sign and is pulled over and beaten by police when they see a gun rack in the truck? Or a headline like Ashland Community and Technical College nursing student shot in her sleep. How would we react to that? What form of upheaval would that create? I venture to say if we were met with this type of daily attack on our own people, we would take action in a way that hasn't been seen since the Battle of Blair Mountain in West Virginia. And if we wouldn't stand for it, why would we expect another group of Americans to stand for it?
And we need to realize that these people have more in common with us. And it was like beautiful. It was just like exactly what needed to be said. And it has to come from one of you. It can't just be some Brooklyn hipster on Instagram yelling at you. You know what I mean? You're not going to listen to that person. It's got to be one of you that's like, hey, guys, listen. We don't have to be like our long violent history. We can still honor our heritage. We can still honor this place. We can still love this place. But let's create a new way of being Southern, essentially. Let's keep the good. Let's toss the bad. Let's right. redefine it.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I totally agree with that. And also, I mean, just to even relate why it probably hit him so much heavier is like you said, George Floyd, which, of course, incredibly important. But Breonna Taylor is from Louisville, Kentucky.
You know, sure, yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, yeah.
That happened there. That was very close to home. I wept for days just seeing my city that I'm from, like, basically grieve, you know? I was grieving my city, grieving and changing, but and then I got to go back for the first time in a long time, you know, and it made such a difference because they heard it from themselves instead of... You know, not everybody was what you saw on the news, I guess.
That's it. That's it. You know, that's why I think ultimately that's why it's so important is it's like, Toby Keith embarrasses the shit out of me. He's from Oklahoma, but it's like right there. It's like it's my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Right.
It's in the neighborhood.
So yeah. So like the first band to do that for me was the Drive-By Truckers. That's kind of what I would say.
Oh yeah.
Started my journey to Tyler Childers was discovering them in college. And then a bunch of people at my college were from Texas. There was whatever the swim team, the soccer team, and the golf team at my school all heavily recruited Texas. So there was all these Texans on campus, and they were introducing us to this sort of like Texas country movement. They call it the Red Dirt Movement.
Yeah.
And it's this sort of like underground Texas country, Oklahoma country, like kind of getting back to the outlaw principles.
Right.
Which I didn't know existed. And that's when I was like, to what I was saying earlier, like, oh, this sounds like home, but it's the messages I want being shared from home. And it's right. The representation that I want from the people that I identify with in this world. And so I think, honestly, I've been like aware of this movement for a while. And so I'm always like, you know, so when Sturgill Simpson came around, I'm like very much following him. And I think Tyler Childers, honestly, I think I discovered him through A Tiny Desk, but immediately I heard Grindstone and I was like, all right, I like this guy.
Right.
Yeah. He is cool as hell. He, just to kind of jump on a couple things you talked about, Long Violent History was actually my first exposure to him. Cause I hear everybody talking about Tyler Childers. So I listened to his most recent album from 2020 and I'm like, what is this collection of public domain fiddle songs that I am hearing? And I would not figure out what was going on with it for a while. And so I, you know, jump back to his two breakthrough albums, Purgatory and Country Squire, which are just phenomenal country albums. But mm-hmm. for people who haven't listened to much Tyler Childers or are not familiar, just to fill in some context about Long Violent History, it, like I said, came out in 2020. It's all instrumental tracks that are mostly public domain, played by Tyler Childers on fiddle, who had only been learning fiddle for a couple years. So it's not virtuoso. It's very like, I'm in the process of learning. And that's like on purpose, right? He's like, I'm working at it. Because it's kind of his whole thing is, you know, he's always working at it. But then the last song is the self-titled Long Violent History. And it's a pretty powerful song. It has lyrics and it's about what Kenny just said. He kind of talks about in the video, which is like he's trying to get his rural white listeners to empathize with another marginalized group, you know. Mm-hmm. He's like, don't forget you're marginalized, right? Too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, yeah, I mean, especially in like, you know, West Virginia coal mining country and stuff like that, they have made a choice to keep you down. Mm-hmm. You know, and this country's made a choice for a long time to keep other people down. Like, just wake up and realize this is not right. You know, let's fix this somehow, some way. I'm going to figure it out with the fiddle, but we'll figure it out some way. You know,
like, yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, that's what, like, to my point about needing a Tyler Childers, when I first became aware of J.D. Vance, it was through an interview about Hillbilly Elegy, which at this point I haven't read because just as soon as it came out, all of the thought leaders that I fuck with were like, fuck you and fuck this book. Yeah. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll take that review. I guess I won't waste my time. But what sucks is I actually really liked some of the points he made in the interview I heard. I think it was on Fresh Air. And it's interesting how two people from a similar place can take in the same experience or same observation and come out very, like J.D. Vance's whole point was, at least in the interview, what he laid out that I agreed with was, you know, growing up in a world where we're becoming increasingly politically correct and really watching what we say about different groups, but then kind of white trash was like the last thing that was still allowed, right? So it's like, And it was kind of his conceit. And like, I've thought that for a while where like, I don't even want to say the guy's name because it just made me sad watching it happen. But a Chicago comedian, we all know, went full right wing. The internet ate his brain. And it was very sad. He was like a beloved comedian and just his brain melted. But I always thought, I was always like, dude, he was like that quintessential, like, was called white trash most of his life, I'm sure. And then you just have these like privileged white hipsters trying to lecture you about your privilege, and you just snap. You're just like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, you. And so I think Tyler Childers is taking that same observation, but using it correctly, which is, hey, let's empathize. Whereas J.D. Vance is using it as a rally cry, sort of the we will not be erased sort of conceit. And it's like, no, like the observation is a populist observation, essentially. It's no matter what differences we have culturally or skin tone or racially or I guess the same thing, or spiritually, religion, all of it, we all have more in common than the billionaires going to space. So let's focus on that. Yeah. That's who's keeping us down. And right. So, yeah, that's why it means so much to me to have essentially a much cooler musical counterpoint to J.D. Vance. I'm like, yes, you know.
And I don't like to read, so music is better. You know,
much better. It's for me, yes, 100%. You know, it's
like... more fun.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I was even like, and I've been talking about this on stage, but like, you know, the left used to be the fun ones, and now we are just like so lame. We're just lame. We're just completely suck. We're just beefing.
It's boring.
We're beefing it so hard. It's terrible. We are the no fun party. And like, they used to be the right, dude. They were the ones that were like footloose, like no dancing, all that bullshit. Like, that was all, we were the ones that were like, yeah, dude, fucking let's party. I think it's like this. I think that's why rage was so impactful the other night, is I was like, here's what the left should be. It should just be like, we are clearly cooler and more fun than you. Like, clearly. So you can choose a side if you want. You can go over there and listen to fucking Toby Keith's lame ass talk about how he ain't as good as he once was. Or you come over here where we're clearly the cool ones.
Yeah.
Right.
You choose. You decide.
And for so much longer, too. Like, they've been so cool for so long. You know?
Since day one. And didn't Run the Jewels open those shows also at MSG?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I missed it. Apparently, MSG shows.
No, I'm sorry.
I saw all of Rage, but I missed Run the Jewels. And because apparently at Madison Square Garden, the show actually starts at the time it says it's going to start, which, you know,
that's not
for
fair.
Years of live music, I've never assumed ever, ever. I'm always like, I'll get there 30 to 45 minutes after this time and I'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah, you were too busy being old school right wing. Left wing. And out there just huffing joints and, you know, everything. Like,
I was 100% doing that. I was 100% doing that.
I know.
How are you going to start a Rage Against the Machine motherfucking concert on time? We're going to follow rules?
Right.
At a Rage concert?
Right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up, in Kentucky, but very punk rock and also very country all at the same time. But boy, oh boy, nothing started on time because we were out there just puffing, baby. You know, like that's
100%, dude.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. No, I'm huffing. But then luckily everyone just decided to smoke weed right there at MSG. So it was. It's one of the cooler things I've done.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, Run the Jewels also, they are in many ways carrying the torch. They're proving like, hey, they're half of them are from Atlanta, right? Also. So like they're half Southern and they're like, we're super fun. We're super with it. We're very in your face. We hate Ronald Reagan and we're from the South. Like it is it's still.
Pretty cool.
Right.
Right. Well, and to our point of having like good representative voices, I mean, part of why I love Run the Jewels is LP is a white rapper that I feel like if any rapper is actually speaking for me, it's him. Like most of the time I feel like a voyeur when I listen to rap music. I love it, but I don't have a personal connection. I just love it. I love the beat. I love the story. I love hearing those stories because they're not my story. So I think it's so fascinating to hear. But when LP hops on a track, the way that he expresses his anger and acknowledges his own privilege and like isn't trying to front like so many white rappers do. So many white rappers try to like really prove that their life was difficult enough for them to be there, which he just doesn't bother doing. And I love that. And it's kind of a similar feeling to when I hear like one of these country songs we're talking about, you know?
You like it because it's real. That's yeah, what yeah, it yeah. is. Because it's it. Actually authentic, you know? That's just what it is, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
From a singular voice. And that's another thing. I mean, Tyler Childers, you know, we've talked a lot about other country artists that never write any of their own songs, or, you know, they've all just been kind of vessels of, like, you know, a factory of songwriters and whatnot mm-hmm. in Nashville. And Tyler Childers writes everything. There's not a single track that hasn't been written by Tyler Childers.
Yeah.
By Tyler Childers. You know?
I mean, he also does great covers. I mean, like,
he does do great covers.
You know,
yes.
But that's just because he's a phenomenal singer and musician.
Right. His cover of Time by Pink Floyd. Have
oh,
you
I
seen
mean,
that?
I have not seen that.
I mean, I love Pink Floyd, you know, I'm a dirty hippie and, you know, sure. But I love Pink Floyd, but he does this great kind of country cover of it that is just like, damn, that's a whole nother take, you know.
That's sick.
On it. I loved it. Yeah.
Those are the best covers.
Yeah, definitely. Sidebar on Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd rules because they finally brought together the psychedelic hippies and the prog rock nerd virgins. They like get to hang out when they listen to Pink Floyd.
That is
Floyd.
True.
It's a beautiful thing.
You can't fuck to Rush, though. You know what I mean?
You can't
fuck to Pink Floyd. Well, that's because I used to be a drummer. I'm doing, you know, time changes.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
like,
every
I got
time.
It. I'm in 7/8 time now. How am I supposed to? Like,
where's the rhythm? Where's the rhythm? She's upset, you know?
Let's get into Tyler a little bit. So we kind of touched on his history, but maybe let's get into some music. So he has several albums, two major albums, like we said, and All Yorn, which again is our song of the week, is from...
That's the siren that goes off every time we say song of the week.
Song of the week.
Yeah.
Of the week
worked
siren.
Out perfect this time. Usually
this,
it's
it
off,
doesn't always, I, yeah. Like...
Well, good. I shot a guy exactly
just,
10 minutes ago.
Was it just to watch him die?
Oh, well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. For the sake of this podcast, yes.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Kenny. Your commitment is unparalleled. Okay. In his music, I mean, he's thoroughly Appalachian, I guess would mm-hmm. be what you'd say. But I feel like he sings a lot about, like, work. He sings a lot about I'm trying to figure out how to put this. He does this thing I like, which a lot of radio country doesn't do, where instead of singing about, like, the simpler times, he's like, things are still simple and they're hard right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he sings about work and struggle in the present tense because mm-hmm. that's his truth. And that's most people's truth. It's not like, remember that dirt road when I had my scuffed up boots, you know, it's not about like a nostalgia for simpler times that may have never even existed. It's very honest and present. And you get that a lot on his two major albums.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had the chance to see Tyler Childers live before. It was just,
oh yeah. You saw him at Red Rocks, right?
At Red Rocks here. And a phenomenal performance, really great. And at the same time, still that honest, stoic character the entire mm-hmm. time. I say character, not character, just, you know, he's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
well,
that.
Like, as an example, as a way to differentiate, like, what he does to, like, radio country. Mm-hmm. One thing that's always cracked me up. It's like a party pop country song, but, like, it's like me and you are going to pick up a six pack and drive around. It's like, you're going to drink three beers each, you fucking loser. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the pop country version. Like, we're going to pick up a six pack and drive around all night. It's like, oh, daddy's getting loose, huh? You know? Whereas Tyler Childers is like, I'm going to drink moonshine, I'm going to do cocaine, and I'm going to be mm-hmm. up until the sun rises because I'm home, and that's what happens when I come home, because mm-hmm. I'm around all of my old idiot friends, and mm-hmm. I can't escape them, because something about this is comforting to me, so this is what we're going to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know it's not great for me, but this is what happens when you come home. Those white lines start to blur, and next thing you know, you're wrapped up in it. And I'm like, that's honest. That's yeah. real.
It's
that's what really happens. That's what really happens on a fucking back road. No one drinking three beers. I've gone back roading. It's 30 beers. It's 30 beers.
Yes,
and you drive until they're all gone. You know what I mean? Right. Like, come on.
I know. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The Radio Country plays it super lame and plays it super tame. You know, I guess that's a sweet rhyme. You know, that's a Tyler Childers song right there. But what I'm saying is, like, no, I mean, I was just back in Kentucky this weekend, and I'm so regretful I didn't get my hands on some moonshine. But boy, oh boy, if I didn't suck down a whole bunch of bourbon, you know, like, I had to. I was like, it was like, it felt like I had to.
You were compelled.
When I go back to Springfield, if I'm home for more than a week, I can make it a week. But if I'm there week two, just the next thing I know, I just have a can of dip and I just have I don't even like feel it happen. I just like go to get gas and I look up and I see that a can of Copenhagen is like $5. And I'm like, so it's basically free.
Yeah, exactly. So Copenhagen for a wink and a smile. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. So, and it's just like, I don't even know what happened until I'm just suddenly spitting in a bottle. And I'm like, wait, how did I get back here? And the whole time I'm like, this is fucking gross, but I'm just doing it. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Totally. I smoke too many cigarettes. I have recently quit, but boy, I didn't this weekend, you know, and
Kentucky cigs don't count.
Well, yeah, exactly. I guess, you know,
well, it's farm and table out there. You know what I mean? It's
right, like,
that's where they make it. Yeah.
That, I mean, that's bourbon and cigarettes are the two biggest things to come out of Kentucky in general, especially internationally. It's like, we make them for the entire world. You know, bourbon and cigarettes, you're just handed them at the border, you know, like basically it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, what am I going to, you know?
Hey, I'm going to ask for a quick pause. I got to plug my computer in. I just got a warning. So,
Yeah.
Take your time. Take a drink of this coffee in the meantime. I've already pooped twice today. No big deal.
Keep that in the recording. This is the break. I've already pooped twice.
This is
today.
Our commercial break.
No big deal.
We are sponsored by Meth and Coffee. Shit your brains out.
Tyler's weekly update.
I shit at a Waffle House this weekend.
Oh, good for you. You really were.
Well, I'm glad you said good for you, because my girlfriend was disgusted. When I told her that story,
Waffle House.
I thought, no, I love Waffle House, but you don't shit there. You don't shit where you eat, you know, come on. You eat the shit.
Right. You eat the shit because it's smothered on your hash browns.
I did, man. Yeah. They had a deal going on. 50 cents, double hash browns. Only 50
what?
Cents more 50 to cents? Double the hash browns. I got biscuits and gravy and double order hash browns with everything on it. $8.50.
Wow.
Inflation has not touched Waffle House.
Isn't it funny how your hash brown order at Waffle House ultimately describes what the inevitable shit is going to look like? It's like, I would like my bowel movement to be scattered, smothered, chunked, covered. definitely peppered.
Peppered for sure.
Where did all this corn come from? I don't remember getting.
I didn't know it could taste spicy in the South mouth, but here we go.
I'm back, by the way. So we keep that in.
No, that's all there. That's all staying in, I'm sure.
Unlike
a shit after Waffle House. All right, that ties it back up.
We're all together.
All right.
Shitting at Waffle House is something Tyler Childers should probably sing about, actually.
Oh, definitely. Totally. It's not out of the range of possibilities, because it's not like it's not classy. It's not. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's opening riff. He's like, quiet as a church mouse, shitting at a Waffle House. Na, 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 na.
Totally.
The door. He would have a beautiful verse, because everything he describes is like a poet. He'd have some sort of line about like the door doesn't lock, so he's got to press his foot up against the door while he's trying to squat. And
Here it is. Quiet as a church mouse, shitting at a Waffle House, waiting for the cops to leave. Like the Waffle House is the Waffle House. The Waffle House is being robbed by meth addicted hillbillies.
Right.
Tyler Childers is in there hungover or drunk. He's drunk. So there it's like 2 a.m. He's quiet. He's trying to be quiet while he's taking his shit because the cops have come because the Waffle House is being robbed by meth heads. All right, this is the song. We got it. Let's go.
It's perfect. It is absolutely perfect. And it is perfect. It is really kind of the story you would hear in that area of the country. You know?
Totally. Yeah.
That would be a killer story to hear at a bar. Like if somebody just told you that story, it'd be jaw dropping laughter. People would love it and they'd ask you to say it 3 times too, like, what's the line again? Okay, all right. That's perfect. You know what I mean? And I love that so much. You can really, you can get away with a lot of stuff.
Tyler Childers, he obviously has the ability to write very accessible, sweet songs. Like All Yorn is just a phenomenal love song that doesn't feel cliche, but does feel classic and timeless, even though it's not old. But he also has the great ability to sing about some stuff that could be considered crass, but he just presents it in a way that's so honest. And the song that comes immediately to mind, beyond all the songs about drugs and coke and stuff, is Ever Lovin' Hand. Get so hard out on the road. Better go it alone, 'cause I'm your man. I have got you on my mind. And my ever. I'm sure you guys know, which is, well, I'll just read the first stanza here of Ever Loving Hand.
Costanza? Do it as George Costanza, if you could.
You want me to do the lyrics as George Costanza?
Yeah.
Jerry, they got my favorite lotion here. Something in a hotel I admire. I got pictures that you sent me, and they fill me with desire. What am I supposed to do? It's a song about masturbating in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
At first, I regretted my Costanza, idea there, but you really pulled it off. I enjoy it.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, that's just a small example of what he is able to accomplish when he's like, yeah, I'm not afraid to sing about this thing that might be considered uncouth to the masses. Yeah. This is real.
That's what makes it cool. That's what makes it cool, man. That's like the antithesis of pop country. Pop country is like the quintessential... You're not going to get offended by this. Mm-hmm. Like, you can play this at TCBY, you know, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. And that's why it's so fucking corny. Uh-huh. And, you know, like, I think one of the hardest things to pull off, to be honest with you, especially in our current time, is to be honest about the less flattering parts of being a man. Especially during this current cultural moment we're in, to be able to present that in an honest way that doesn't skeeve everybody out is art. I mean, that really is hard to pull off. It's like,
totally.
It's something we all deal with, but nobody wants to talk about it. No one wants to know that we all have days where we beat off 5 times and don't even know what the fuck happened and emerge like from a porn hole depressed and like, what the fuck just happened to me? You know, I'm like questioning your life. No one wants to hear it, but it's real.
Yeah.
And that's why it has to be said and it has to be sung.
Yeah.
It turns out sincerity is still something worth paying attention to and doing, you know, and Tyler Childers is definitely representing that.
Yeah.
It's also just representing where he's from, what he's done, where he's gone, and where, you know, everything. And also, just to take it back to All Yorn, that video. Have you seen the video, Kenny?
I actually haven't, no.
We should talk about the video.
It's fantastic. I love it so much. I mean, it's very... you'd love it too, you know, coming from the Ozarks. But me, I love it so much because it seems like it's just right in the hills of Kentucky is where it all happens. Or it seems... He's playing multiple characters as if it's like a Foo Fighters video.
He plays every character. You know? And he dresses in drag in it and like puts on... He's like, right. He's He really performs. It's funny. He does physical comedy in the video.
It's great. Yeah. Which is weird because, like, just seeing him, and like we said before, such a stoic, you know, honest presence. And then now he's being a goof.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, let's say what the plot is. So the plot of the video is he's, you know, he's a hillbilly in the woods, and he takes a hit from a bong made out of an entire tree. Do I have that right, Danny? Does that seem...
An entire tree where and also an animated butterfly with, like, huge human eyes flies into the pipe
first. Who smokes a butterfly also.
Yeah, yeah. Sick.
And then so a huge trip. Mushrooms he goes on a huge out trip. Of it's a huge trip.
Yeah.
And you know the album cover for Country Squire? The illustrated four faces, which I read some reviews of the album. Yeah. It's very funny. Everybody has to comment on how ugly the album art is in every review I read. They're like, this album art is a hideous cartoon, but it somehow fits perfect. But the characters from that album, like the fox and the goblin and the blue-skinned lady, and they all show up as like an animatronic Chuck E. Cheese style band in the video. Great. It's awesome.
It's great. And, like, what's great, he, like, takes a hit, mushrooms pop up, all of a sudden, like, he trips and falls several times, that's part of the, but every time he falls down, it's in a whole new location, like, he literally falls into another dimension, or whatever, and it's gorgeous, and I don't know, all I could take away from it, because it is a love song, it's a gorgeous love song, I just took away from it, like, love can be one of the best trips you can go on. I guess too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it can last forever, or it can just be for a couple of days. You know, that's just, you know, that's love. But love is its own drug. You know, I think that was maybe what he was interpreting, but also just very funny and visually pleasing.
Yeah. And even though he is a man that has, you know, he's partied hard. And he has worked hard, and he's gruff. But, I mean, he's a man that loves love, and he really is not afraid to discuss how much he loves his wife, Sonora May. And they got married when they were pretty young, and, you know, they were broke, and he was, like, living in his parents' camper, which is where Country Squire comes from. There was Country Squire written on the windshield or something of the camper they lived in, and... Yeah, I think that he really goes all in on romance also without romanticizing or being sentimental. He just he's got a good way about it.
Just a sincere love, you know, just like, hey, we've all been in love. We're all in love. I hope currently. And, I am, you know,
you're not sorry for bringing it up.
I just know how good it feels. And so why, you know, if when you talk about it sincerely, when you talk about it with authenticity, it's actually more beautiful than, you know, some poem, you know.
The other thing that's cool about him is he's playing a very traditional style of music where it's kind of, you know, this country bluegrass hybrid, which like both have these very long histories. And so many traditionalists are so lame and corny about it, where it's like they don't want anything to change. What I love about him is he's plugging a modern experience into the traditional art form and bringing the traditional art form into the modern time. Like, because so many like bluegrass aficionados just want to hear the standards. And you know what I mean? Like, they just want you to sing about the fucking prairie in the 1800s or the early 1900s or whatever. But he's using bluegrass to tell the story of Appalachia now, you know, like country music in particular is so nostalgic. You know, we touched on that a little bit earlier, but I agree with what you said, Tyler. It's like, he talks about it in the present tense, which is what's so refreshing. And that includes love. That includes his version of love is very modern. It's not this like, I feel like a traditional country song. It has to be, I will love you forever. Right. To your point, Danny, it can't be love might only last a couple days. Right. But I feel like in this new tradition, there's room for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also like, just like the, the reality of love. I don't mean, this is me personally speaking, but like, there's nobody that's going to write a love song about how me and my girlfriend laugh at each other's farts all the time, but we do, and we fart freely and we love it. You know, that's not going to be a hit song, but it's real love. You know, mm-hmm. It is what it is. It's the toots of love, not the roots of love.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You are the wind beneath my seat. That's what I say.
That's the song. That's the song right there.
That is literally the birthday card I gave her 2 days ago that I made myself.
Oh, man.
That's not great. 2 days ago, like a week ago.
That is
that's sweet.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that you knew she'd probably hate it, but you did it anyway, but also she loves it.
I knew she would hate it. No, I did know. I drew two butts on the front. It was two butts farting, so little smelly lines, you know, and that formed into a heart.
Great.
I wrote toots of love at the bottom, and then when you open it up, it says, "You are the wind beneath my seat." And then, a very, very sweet, you know, "I love you so much. You're the best thing."
A message, right.
Blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff, yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah. But that's what you got. That's real love.
It's real love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the specificity. It's the stuff that you don't share with everybody else, because you don't share your farts with everybody else.
No, we don't. Just each other.
Just our farts are monogamous.
Right. We're not... But you guys get what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
But do you know what I'm spraying?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, all right. Had to do one more.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You know? You're good. We've got a couple more segments that we'll do at the end. So I want to just throw out a couple bit of other fun facts about Tyler Childers, some other bit of history for people that might be new, to provide some kind of a timeline for him. So he released his first album, Bottles and Bibles, in 2011. Big gap between that and his breakthrough album, which is called Purgatory. And Purgatory and Country Squire, which came out in 2019, they almost feel like companion albums. I could throw on either. I'm perfectly happy. In fact, I've been listening. Mm-hmm. In research for this, I wound up listening to Purgatory more. I think it's got just a ton of boots on. I mean, it's great. Both are great.
Both produced by Sturgill Simpson.
That's what I was going to say. And also
another Kentucky fellow.
And an advocate definitely of Childers, because, you know, Tyler was opening for Sturgill. It's also produced, or co-produced, I guess, by Johnny Cash's engineer, David Ferguson. So like, this album has got the heat. Like, it's coming in hot, and it's the album that broke him out. Like I said, he started opening for John Prine and Margo Price and stuff like that. And then Country Squire, same thing, produced by Sturgill Simpson, recorded at the Butcher Shop in Nashville, where Sturgill did one of his bluegrass albums. And I wanted to ask a fun quiz question. So Sturgill contributed some musical talent to the album. He did background vocals, and he provided one other instrument. Do you want to guess what it is? And I'll tell you this. It's about the funniest thing possible and a true waste of Sturgill's presence. What do you think Sturgill contributed to the album?
Is there a kazoo on any of the songs?
No, but that's a good guess.
Okay. All right. No kazoo. I'm going to guess, because he's an amazing guitar player.
He is.
But not that, but... chimes?
That's a good guess also.
Tambourines.
Closer. It was hand claps.
Just hand claps?
He's credited with hand claps on the album.
Well, I mean, that's real. That is real Kentucky music. That's also real Ozark music. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't grow up with instruments, everybody, but we can sing and we can holler. We can clap, you know? Like,
Yeah. Oh, and that's another thing. His voice. I was texting Kenny about this. Tyler Childers' voice. I don't know anybody else who sounds like him. I mean, Sturgill and him don't even have similar voices. There is some there's some sort of high rasp in Childers' voice that I'm afraid to try to sing along to it because it's such a cool voice. I can't even.
I'll tell you
it.
The secret.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to know the secret?
I do.
Because it's a voice that's like, it is very unique, but it's very close to where I'm from. It takes it's about 25 years of smoking and screaming.
Okay. Yeah. And you then all probably of a sudden, do it.
You sit down and sing and then all you got it, you know, that's,
I'm probably too little too late on trying to sound like that at this point.
Oh yeah. I put the work in.
Smoke them if you got them.
That's right. And you know what? That's what the Country Squire album is all about. It's an album that is meant to capture relentless work ethic in Childers' own words. And
yeah,
he's put in the work to sound that way, I guess.
Definitely put in the work. And also just like the way that became big was just, he just kind of toured this tri-state area for years and years. That's why I had the huge gap between the albums is for 6 years. He was just
on the road. Yeah.
Really just going between like Louisville, Lexington, Kentucky, Huntington, West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, and you know, all the regions of that, not a huge map to cover at mm-hmm. that point. You know, nothing's further than 3 hours from each other. Most of it's less than two, but just doing that so much and letting the circle grow around him. And now, I mean, when I saw him last year, he played 2 sold out shows at Red Rocks. So I don't know. That's what, 30,000 people.
Yeah, the work's paid off.
Over the 2 nights, you know,
definitely. Like, and I mean, in the two major releases, the 2017 and 2019 album, they are both met with, at least within the country folk, old timey, you know, country rock worlds, they've been met with basically universal acclaim. Like, they are massively lauded albums. People love them.
Yeah,
so it makes sense.
Grammy nominated.
Yeah, yeah, for yeah. sure.
I don't have one of those.
No, yeah, I ain't got one to my name.
You know, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Grammy nomination.
So we're going to get into the covers section of our show in a minute. Kenny, do you have any final thoughts on All Yourn or Tyler Childers before we go into our last couple segments?
Just dive in. I mean, it's not an intimidating body of work. I would definitely seek out live performances. There's a Spotify sessions that's really good. But yeah, like his Tiny Desk is great. He's got I can't remember which other one it is that's really good. But do the full dive. It's early enough in his career. You can get caught up really fast and then just be along for the ride.
Totally.
And listen to the lyrics. Right. I know a lot of people tell me, because I'm a lyric freak. That's like my thing with music. I'll listen to a song 100 times, trying to make sure I understand what they're saying. And I've had friends tell me like, oh yeah, like I barely ever noticed the lyrics. It's like, if there's one piece of advice I can give to anybody that's trying to appreciate music on a deeper level, it's the lyrics. It's all about the lyrics, like what is being said in the song. And he is a master songwriter, so.
It's totally true. Yeah, he's a great storyteller. You're there mm-hmm. with him as he's singing, you know, all of that. Like the inflection even used is like puts you right in his pocket while he's delivering. And yeah, you're right. Just a master.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's a new master. He's one of the most new artists we've covered so far. But he's broken out in such a huge way because the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Yeah. The mustard's in the mayonnaise.
There it is. That's there we go.
That's more our speed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well done,
that's
Danny.
What we want. Yeah.
Hey, you know, give me some time. I can do it.
That's going on t-shirts.
You know, give me some time.
That's right. Hey, the ranch is in the ketchup. You know what
yeah,
else?
Yeah, right.
Fancy sauce is on us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also, I guess to finish the last thing I'll say too, you have to think about how impressive it is for somebody that exists outside the establishment, sort of vocally outside the establishment, to even be nominated for an award, because there's nothing more establishment than the award system.
Right.
And I was thinking about that same thing with Rage. Like, you know how good you have to be at music to literally just double middle finger the man at every turn and still win
right.
Grammys. I mean, that's like insane. But that's why more people don't stick to their guns and talk their shit is because, you know, you don't want to get alienated from the system that could make you a fucking star. And so to do that, to take that leap, to buck the system that could make you a star to become a star anyway is incredibly fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. And rare and just the best. I love it when that happens. It's the best.
Right. It's like, it's why there's so many people in our business, so many comedians that you're like, I know you're smarter than this. And they know they're smarter than that, but they're chasing that money. And it's very uncool to watch, by the way.
Yeah. It is boring and disappointing.
It is not entertaining. And it seems like you're still very sad, even though you have so much money.
I prefer the PowerPoint you made to prepare for this fucking set. You know?
There's a lot of comedy out there that is, well, I mean, of course there is, and there always has been, but yeah, there's a lot that is the blue jeans and pickup trucks lyrics equivalent of comedy, you know?
Right. There is checklist comedy, just the same way there's checklist country. Yeah, totally.
100%. And it's on both sides of the political aisle.
Sure. Oh,
that's the reason I'm not famous. You know,
that's the only real.
That's the only reason, people. I'm too real, man.
Yeah. This is the guy. This is the guy who won't admit that his meth addiction. All my jokes about smoking meth are too real for these people. It's like, no, man, you're unhinged. You're unreliable. You don't show up for gigs. It's like, oh, yeah, too authentic. Just because I live my truth. Coastal elites don't appreciate a good Ozarkian story.
Yeah. I got to talk to my agent. You just walk to a mirror and start screaming at it.
Yeah.
You've screwed me. You fucking asshole. Out of my own. You know?
my merch is just like industrial fans that I stole off a truck.
You can make this into a fan boat. You can cool your house down. Whatever the hell you want.
I'll give you both for $30. I'll suck your dick. Please take the fans.
Take the fans.
Your merch is offering to suck.
Yeah.
I'm selling fans to fans. That's what I'm doing. You know, that's my whole thing. Mm-hmm.
This is for my OnlyFans. Film me sucking your dick, and you take my fan. It's the whole thing I'm doing.
Wow, it's all come together. Mm-hmm. I'm on OnlyFans. They fell off a truck. They. That's so
ridiculous.
All right, well, let's do a little segment that we like to call Smothered and Covered, which is not an intended callback, but really works to what we were talking about earlier.
Totally does, yeah.
This is where we shared a couple covers of all Yorn. So if you like this song, you want to hear some other renditions of it, it's a new song. There are not a lot to choose from, but there's a few out there. Probably the hardest to find, and also my favorite, is from Corey Brannon, Memphis country and rock guy that I really like. Mm-hmm. He has a version of All Yorn that you have to buy. I happened to buy it several months ago, but he was releasing home studio albums and cover albums through a thing he was calling Quarantunes because he couldn't go on the road, which is mostly what he does, but he does a great cover of it. On Spotify and streaming services, you can find a cover by a group called Surrender Cobra and by Ryan Sheridan. And that's all I've got in that.
I think that's all there is. Yeah. Looking up, I think that's what it is.
That's probably it. So anyway, that's your smothering cover for the day.
Yeah, if any of those bands or, you know, people that aren't as popular as Tyler Childers got you into Tyler Childers, take a listen.
Well, you know what's hard about country in particular? Country artists covering other songs is usually the way that goes.
Right.
To countrify a song is almost always the best cover possible because you slow it down, you really catch the lyrics. And the best covers are usually cross-genre. But All Yorn is so specifically country, I don't know what you would do with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Totally. Like, you don't put a bumper sticker on a Cadillac. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, go out there and shit it out and act like it's going to be the next big thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's already been done to the top of its potential.
Yeah, it would have to be like a rap or hip hop version. I think specifically by like a Southern rapper. That would be the only thing I could think.
Nelly?
Maybe Nelly. Yeah. Maybe Nappy Roots has a comeback. Oh, they're great, dude. They're great.
They're fine.
Yeah, I love them.
All right, that's great. Yeah. I'm glad somebody does.
I legitimately love Nappy Roots. In high school, I was all in.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they were fun, and they had a couple of hits actually go mainstream. So.
All my life I've been poor, but it really don't matter no more.
No more.
And I wonder why we act this way. Nappy boy's gonna be okay. Okay. Yeah, come on now. Come on now.
Yeah, all right, I'm back.
I'm
in.
Sold.
All
right, now,
you got me. All
right. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Well, what's interesting about this segment is sometimes we cover new artists, and it's like nobody's covered this song. It's too new. It's too connected with the original artist. But then sometimes it'll be like Jolene. Turns out some British new wave band covered Jolene in 1982, and it is crazy.
Right.
So
it's just computer sounds.
Yeah, it's a while, you know. So sometimes the segment works better than other times.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Anyway, let's do some recs and plugs, and we'll wrap this thing up. So Kenny,
hell yeah.
For people that maybe have not listened to Tyler Childers before, this podcast is their first exposure to him. Do you have a few other specific song recommendations?
Yeah, if you're okay, I'm going to give you a couple. If you're, I'd say it would depend on your mood, and it would depend on what song usually hooks you in a band. If you're like the stoic, especially in country, a lot of people like a good stoic, sad, like story at the core of the human condition. I would say Grindstone. Also, a long tradition in country music of writing a song that's kind of based on advice that your daddy gave you. Like, it's kind of a, I would say, almost a trope.
Yeah.
Like, one of Jason Isbell's great songs is Outfit, and it's all about advice his father gave him. It's sort of a thing that comes around a lot in country. So Grindstone, I think, is Tyler Childers' version of that. And it's really, that's the song that hooked me. That's why I'm here. But then... if you want to have a good time and like turn up a little bit, I would say White House Road.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
White House Road is great. really crazy. Feathered Indians is really good. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. He doesn't have a bad song.
Yeah. True.
But those
you're
three
totally
are
right.
The ones,
yeah.
Those three are the ones that I was like, oh, I'm fully in on this dude.
Solid racks.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with them all.
You stole most of my racks. That's fine. That's why I let you go first. No big deal. So now I'm scrambling.
Do you want me to go while you figure it out?
No. I do want to mention one thing because I do have other racks, but like he looks a lot like Rhys Darby.
Oh my gosh. That's really funny. He does.
Doesn't he? He looks totally like the manager of the Flight of the Conchords.
Nar.
Nar.
I'm not Rhys Darby. No,
he looks so much like him, but yeah, Feathered Indians, fantastic. All Yorn, the song of the week, of course. I would say Lady May is a great one off Purgatory,
a sweet one, yeah.
Which is it's very sweet. Country Squire off the you know the titular track off of Country Squire is just fantastic song. And I love so much of the Long Violent History album. It's just so good. Especially if you don't want to dig into how deep and clever this man is.
If you want to avoid all of that,
just listen to how great of a musician he is and how he can surround himself with an amazing band. You got that too.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, I want to add to my recommendation.
Sure.
If you're listening to it on Spotify, listen to Nose on the Grindstone from the our vinyl sessions because it's like
live
in studio. It's one of those songs you want to hear the space around him, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, totally.
But also, if you're on YouTube, you're going to want to watch him sing it, man. It's like, it's one of those things where seeing how effortless it is for him to hit these octaves is kind of part of what blows your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has amazing control of his voice.
That yeah, and so the our vinyl sessions is also on YouTube, so you can see it there. Nice. So that is my more complete recommendation.
And there's a ton of live stuff. Like if you even just check out his first two EPs, they're all recorded live. They're live at Red Barn Radio, is what they're called, Volumes 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But they're packaged together now, and they're just live, and they're from right there in Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay, so I'm going to throw out there. Did we say House Fire already?
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
House Fire rips. That's such a fun song. Mm. Purgatory, the title track off that album. And also the first track on Purgatory, I Swear to God. Really, really fun ones. Ever Loving Hand, as I said before. And I'll throw out the song, Long Violent History. But also, I'll kind of echo what Danny said. It is a very cool album. It's hard to find a protest album that has almost no words on it. And that's kind of what it right. is, because he's setting a scene. He's trying to like immerse you in a setting so that you feel like you're a part of this culture and this environment. And then he brings the hammer down with the very last song where there's a mm-hmm. verbal message. It's pretty cool. So all
it's
right.
powerful. It's great. It's pushing with quiet force too, which yeah. is the right way in my opinion. But you know, that's me.
For sure. Well, Kenny, thanks so much for chatting with us and joining us from across the country on the internet to do it.
Hey,
it's been great to chat with you, and you had so much insight. This was a super fun chat. Of course, you are a stand-up comedian.
I am,
and you're busy. Where can people where can people find you? This will come out this Monday.
Okay, so if you want to follow me, TikTok and Instagram are where you do that. It's just at Kenny DeForest. Do not bother on Twitter. I left that hell, and I am not turning back. I will not turn back.
I'm so glad to hear that. I left that long ago. God damn, what a desperate
place. It's truly horrific. I can't believe I let anyone watch me exist in that horrible space before. But I am an Instagram and TikTok guy. I feel like it's worth telling. People tell me to post every day, and I refuse. And I feel like that's actually a selling point to you, the listener. If you follow yeah. me, you are very likely right. to not have to, like, mute me. Like, that's my goal. You know, I want to, like, remind you I exist without feeling in your face. So that's my goal. That's the sort of follow you can expect from me. I post videos when I feel like it and when I feel like it's probably worth posting. I'm not going to force some whack-ass crowd work just so I can try to trick the algorithm into giving me a comedy career. That's not what you're getting from me. So just follow along, trust daddy, and we're going to go on this ride together.
Trust daddy.
I give you, if I could give you a standing ovation right now, I would.
Thank you.
I mean, absolutely. It's everything I literally believe in. It's like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless I want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Fuck it. No, that's it. And I'm on tour right now, so I'm leaving. I will be leaving D.C. as your listeners are hearing this. On my way to Charlotte, North Carolina. So that'll be Wednesday of this week. I think the 17th is the date on that. And then I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, Huntsville, Alabama, St. Louis, Missouri at the Funny Bone. I just added a show in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for September 3rd. But it's all on my website. Just go to kennydeforest.com. Everything you need is there. You can sign up for my email list, which I highly recommend. I will not spam you. I will only email you when I'm going to be in your town. And all the instructions to do that for my email list are on my Instagram profile. So follow me on Instagram, and then if you want to be like a super fan, do what I tell you to do in the profile description. And mm-hmm. I think I finally found a way to have social media that makes me not want to kill myself, and this is it. You just heard all of it. So
great.
Right.
That's a good plan.
I would encourage, yeah, of course, follow Kenny. And what's your Twitter handle, Tyler?
Yeah, I'm fucking still on dipshit. Twitter. I had Kenny and I were talking. I had a viral tweet a couple weeks ago, and it was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. It was truly so terrible.
That's when I left. I finally went viral. I finally went viral like 5 times and they were all bad experiences. And I was
that's
like,
never
this is all I've been waiting for. This is like the whole thing I've been building towards. And then it happened and it was bad and nothing changed. And I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here, dude.
It's for your own brain. Anyway, I'm out there suffering on Twitter at Tyler Snod. S-N-O-D. Sure, I'll go next. I'm also on Instagram, as is the show. Take This Pod and Shove It is on Instagram. Take This Pod and Shove It also has a Patreon. So if you would like to support us in that capacity, it's patreon.com/takethispod. We've got a bunch of great bonus episodes coming out and already out, so you can listen to them right away, but only if you, you know, throw a couple bucks in. And I will be back in, by the time this comes out, I'll just about be back in New York. I've got shows in Brooklyn and Manhattan in August and September. Just go to TylerSnodgrass.com for that, or my Instagram. I'm sure I'll be sharing stuff about it. But yeah, that's all for me. What about you, Danny?
Oh, you know, at Danny Maupin on Instagram. That's about the only social media I do. And if you're ever in Denver, Colorado, you just know you can always find me every Tuesday at Rascal Practice. That's my weekly show where I host, and it's all my new material from the week every single week. So show up and watch me bomb, or watch me have one of the best weeks of my life. You know, it's just, it's really what it is. It's my workout room. So you can always find me there. And then, go to @DannyMaupin.com for any other dates. I hit the road, you know, I hit the road. I sucked the toad. What is that? Okay. It was just a rhyme. It was just a rhyme, you know?
Not as good as mayo and the mustard. Or mustard and the mayo.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I fucked it up. I really beeped it.
Yeah.
you've really been mopping up this episode.
There it is.
Take This Pod and Shove It.